a summary of the first Sicha of Parshas Bahar from volume 22 of Likutei Sichos. This week, the Rebbe analyzes a Zohar on this week's Parsha. It says in this week's Parsha that V'shavsa Aretz Shabbos LaHashem, on the seventh year, your field has to have a Shabbos for Hashem. It has to be empty from work, and no work could be done, not to your fields, not to the vineyards, and so on. And the Zohar goes and says that when it says that if you acquire a servant, a Jewish servant, then on the sixth year, for six years he could work for you, and on the seventh year you have to let him free. So Zohar says that this goes together, just like the seventh year is the Shemitah year, for the seventh year of the field, so too you let him go on the seventh year. And the question is the Zohar arguing on the general law? The general way of understanding the law is that the 6 years a servant works, no matter when his 6 years is, and on his seventh year, he goes free. Not that it's the seventh year of when the whole Jewish world has their fields rest, that seventh year. It could be the third year that's going to be the third year of a servant that the whole world is resting their fields. So what does this mean when the Zohar says that it's connected this seventh year to this seventh year? Seemingly that seems to be a contradiction to the general understanding of the law. So to understand this, the Rebbe goes into an idea that when it comes to doing mitzvahs, there's two ways in how a mitzvah could be done. It could be done lechatchila, or it could be done b'di'evet. Lechatchila means the initial, most optimal, ideal way of doing a mitzvah. Then there is a way that a mitzvah could be done that's not 100% that perfect way. It's called b'di'evet. After the fact, it was done in a certain way. And it's also okay as a mitzvah. It's 100% a mitzvah, but it's not the most highest 100% ideal way of doing a mitzvah. And the Rebbe goes into a fascinating, fascinating idea of six different examples that he brings, where you could see different situations where it could be done in the highest way, and it could be also be done, but not the highest, complete, perfect way. And even if it's not the perfect way, it's still counted as a mitzvah. It's not ma'akev. It's not like the mitzvah is not done. You don't have to redo the mitzvah. So he brings, for example, first, two ways in how you could celebrate a holidays. For example, in the time when the Beis HaMikdash stood, we would have to bring karbanis, communal karbanis, individual karbanis, you had to go aliyah l'regel, you had to do all these things. When we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we still have the Yom Tov 100%, but it's without sacrifices, without going up aliyah l'regel. So you see that the same mitzvah, celebration of a holiday, it's still being done 100%. The Yom Tov is still 100%. Nevertheless, the most optimal, best, ideal way is when you have the temple, and you could also bring the offerings. We also find this concept of the two ways, the most optimal, ideal way and the not ideal way, in times of a Yom Tov itself. You have a Yom Tov days, the Yom Tov days itself, which is 100% the most complete, highest way of the Yom Tov. Then you have the Chol HaMoed days, even though there's an obligation to be joyful, min HaTorah, but you still can't compare the Chol HaMoed days to the regular days of Yom Tov. So again, you see that there's two times, and one is more ideal, one's another one. Another thing is, in the midst of counting the Yomer, the Pasuk says, Sfartim l'chami machras haShabbos. You should start to count the 49 days the day after Shabbos. And the Chazal tell us that doesn't mean the day after Shabbos or the Shabbos of the week. In other words, you start counting from Sunday. What it means is you should start counting the day after Yom Tov. Why does it say in the verse the day after Shabbos? As a matter of fact, the Sadducees made a mistake, and they used to translate that it means literally the day after Shabbos. They would only start counting the Omer from a Sunday, which meant that Shavuos could be different than the rest of Klal Yisrael. But why does the verse say Machras HaShabbos? And the answer is, because that's the most ideal situation, is when you're counting the Omer, when it's also the day after Shabbos, meaning that the first day of Pesach would be on Shabbos, then you start counting the Omer from Sunday, and it's the day after and the day after Shabbos. That's the most optimal. That's why the Torah uses that, even though it's possible to make a mistake, as Tzedukah made mistakes, nevertheless, the Torah tells us like this, to tell you that this is the most optimal way of the holiday, of the counting of the Omer. Another example is, we find regarding Shavuos. Shavuos is the only Yom Tov that's not fixed to a day of the month. Sometimes it could fall out on the fifth day of Sivan, sometimes the sixth day, sometimes the seventh day of Sivan. For example, it depends. In the times when we establish Rosh Chodesh based on witnesses coming to court, and so sometimes if Nisan was a 30-day month, and Iyar was a 30-day month, then Shavuos would be on the 5th of Sivan. If one was a 30-day month, one was 29 days, then the Shavuos would be on the 6th day of Sivan. If both days were, both months were 29 days, then Shavuos would be on the 7th day of the month. But what's strange is that the Torah, that sometimes Shavuos could happen on the 5th day of the month, which everybody agrees that the 5th day of the month is not the day that we got the Torah. And Shavuos is the main holiday that's connected to the giving of the Torah. As a matter of fact, it says, Izim Echad Lechaper. Doesn't say the word Lechatas because it's Shavuos. So why does, how could it be sometimes fallen on the 5th day? And the answer is, there's the most optimal, and then there's secondary to that. The most optimal is when Shavuos actually falls out on the 6th day. The second to that is that when sometimes it falls out on the 5th days, and that's still 100% counted as celebrating the holiday. We also have another example, a fifth example, when two mitzvahs are, could be done in different kind of ways. The same mitzvah could be done in this, in two different ways. For example, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering Mitzrayim. There's the way you perform it on the night of the Seder, the first night of Pesach, which is the night that we left Egypt, and then you have the way we do it the rest of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim the rest of the year. Of course, both of them are equally counted as doing the mitzvah, but the most optimal is when you're doing the mitzvah of count of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night that we actually left, then we elaborate on it and so on. It brings out also a interesting Mishnah that says that the Mishnah counted out the Mamunim, those that were in charge, and it says the names of the people that were in charge by name of these people in the temple. What's strange is that when you're talking about the people that were that by name, why do you have to tell me the name of these people? And not just that, the next generation people that work, even if that wasn't your name, whoever was in charge of this, that position, you were called with the name of the original guy. Why? To teach you that there's something in a name. The name of a character is the characteristics of the person. Since these names of these people were expressed their characteristics, so we want that the people that are sitting in their position to also have that name of this characteristic. Most optimal would be is if you had the actual same name. If you didn't, we would give you that name. So that shows you again that even in this thing, we could explain this Mishnah and this idea that the most optimal and to have the name, and that's why it tells us the names. So you should know that. Otherwise, you would say, Ma'ida Hava Hava. Now, there's also one more where it says that the Medrash says that when you counted the Omer, when do you say Sheva Shabbosis Tamimais, that it was 7 complete years? The Medrash says, if She'ein Yeshua V'Shchanya, that they didn't have their time slot to be able to work in the temple, then you knew that was a 7 complete week. That's called complete. Now, some years you could have where Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Sunday, and then you'll have automatically the cycles of the weeks, and it's complete, and then it falls out that there's no piece of a half a week. That means the groups that watch the temple, the 8th and 9th group, they would not have, the 9th and 10th group, Yeshaya and Shechanya, they didn't have an opportunity to do their work before Shua. So that's like the hint. Why does the Medrash tell us this kind of hint? Seemingly 7 complete weeks could be anytime. Even nowadays, if you start on a Tuesday, the counting on Omer, for example, it would also be counted as complete. The answer is the most optimal complete is when it's on a Sunday. Now, this all explains to us the same about the Shemitah. What the Zohar is telling us, that the most optimal way for a servant to be freed on the 7th year is when it's also the Shemitah year, the Shnas HaShivi. It's the 7th year for the fields. Then you free him, then it shows the greatest level of the connection. That is, that the individual Jew is also connected to the Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is having a Shabbos Lashem for a whole year. He's also having a Shabbos Lashem, so the individual reaches to the level of the whole Klal Yisrael. That's what the Zohar is trying to teach us. Not that that's only the halacha is to get freed, and that's the public 7th year. What it means is that the most optimal way is when it's that at that time. And that's pretty much the idea of the Sicha, showing us that even time, even though sometimes things seem to be l'chatchila in one way, and it's very the highest way, nevertheless, the other way, b'di'evid, is, oh, if it's not complete, it's still not ma'akev, it's still also important. And this is why the Torah tells us, mimachras ha-shabbos, when it comes to sfira, even though there's room for a tzeduki to make a mistake, it's worth it for us to write like this, the Torah, because the Torah is saying, even if I make a mistake, because we have to say what's the most optimal, what's the most truth and most important, that's the thing that has to be said straight out the way it is, even if some people will make a mistake, that's not our problem.